When this earth was created, it was God who spoke the word, and it was done, gave his warmth to the cold earth. All was new and all was young, time had begun. If my words are hard and sharp, soften this heart. If I'm weak, make me stronger. Let me look to you for strength to make a new start.
Hello and welcome to our reflections for this Sunday, the 12th of September. We're in the middle of the season of creation, and that means that it's a time for us to think about our part with God in sustaining creation, looking after it, thinking about how does creation fit into our understanding of our Christian faith. When we meet together, we like to remember that we are a Christian community who seek to be loving God by growing together, by partnering community, and by sharing faith. We also like to remember that we're a group of people who, in the name of Jesus Christ, welcome anybody who comes. It doesn't matter what your colour, your ethnicity, it doesn't matter what your sexuality, it doesn't matter how old or young you are. You're welcomed with the love of God. We also like to light a candle. Lighting a candle is our way of remembering that Christ, the light of the world, is with us and that we are to live as people who are in the light. It'd be good to pray together. God, thank you so much for the beautiful world. Thank you so much for each other. Thank you that your love surrounds us and calls us to live the way of love for all that you have created. Help us to see you in the things that you've made. Help us, Lord, to stop long enough to listen, long enough to get in touch with you, get our spirits back in sync with you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I want to read to you from the scriptures, and I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 1. This is one of those passages that is, it was probably a liturgy, you know. You know how when you're sitting in church and the minister says, "The peace of the Lord be with you," and everyone says, "And also with you." And we come to certain parts in the service and you say something and people respond automatically because you're just so used to it. Well, this story, I think, came from that because there's repetitive phrases in it. See if you can pick them up along the way. There's quite a few. They come up again and again and again. And I can imagine the minister or the priest telling the story, and when he'd get to a certain part, everybody would chime in. There was evening, there was morning, a second day. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Well, of course, the Jewish days ran from sunset to sunset. So, of course, there's evening and morning, another day. Whereas we'd always say there's morning and there's evening, another day. But the Jewish people saw it differently. Listen to this. I love this. It's beautiful. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God, the Ruach of God, swept over the face of the waters. And then God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. You might like to join in with that next time we come to it. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. And God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sea be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed on it." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply upon the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle, creeping things, and wild animals in the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God said, saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make people in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created people in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion over it, over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food, and to every beast of the air, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. Then the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude, and on the seventh day, God finished the work he'd done. He rested on the seventh day from all the work he'd done. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he'd done in creation. These are the generation of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Thanks be to God for that reading. Two weeks ago, I encouraged you to look at the earth. Paul said God's invisible nature, his eternal power and deity, is clearly seen in the things that God has made. And I encourage you not just to look, but to actually see. And I wonder if since then you've taken that to heart. I wonder if you've had a renewed awareness. I have, because I'm always preaching to myself as much as to anyone else. And I've been trying to stop and look, not just look, but see God shown in the things that God has made, and reflect upon the nature of God and the presence of God with me, because God has breathed life into this planet, life to this earth, and it's all around me, and I'm a part of it. I too am created by God. And God looked and saw that it was good. So you're good. You were made by God. And I hope you've had a renewed consciousness of sensing God there. Because often our consciousness isn't about what's actually out there. It's about what we're conscious of what's out there. Last week, we looked at a very disturbing story, the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus, and she's wanting to talk to Jesus and get him to help, because she's got a daughter who's got a demon, and she's desperately worried about her daughter, and she wants help, and everybody's saying go away, because she's Syrophoenician. These are the people who used to harass the Israelites. the great giant that David slew, Goliath, he was one of them. And there's not good relationships with those people. So when she's coming, people are saying, oh, go away, go away, go away. And when Jesus finally comes to her and she asks him, he puts out there, stark and clear, the attitude that's sitting there. It's not right to take the food for the children and give it to the dogs. And the woman's response was, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Now, Jesus' words were shocking, and they were meant to be. And I was reflecting last week, what is it that we look at as being only fit to get the crumbs, if to get that, the crumbs that fall from the children's table? And I'd like to suggest to you that in our world today, it's the environment that gets the crumbs that fall from the children's tables. There's all sorts of things that we think about are important. And the last thing we think about is the right of the bilby and the quoll to exist, the right of the platypus to live, the right of the cockatoos to have their trees with the hollows for their habitats. The last thing we think of, after all other considerations, is the helpless, the poverty-stricken. We have an attitude. It's not right to give to the dogs the crumbs of the children. And I think we treat the environment like that. And when we heard Jesus say it, it was shocking. But he was putting out there what everybody else was saying. If not with clear words, with attitudes. And it is shocking when you're actually confronted with what it looks like. And it should be shocking. Today, I want to think about that story of creation. You've heard the story, haven't you? You know, day one, there's light and there's dark. And day two, there's sky and there's sea. And day three, the waters are pulled apart and the earth's made to appear and it's covered in vegetation. Have you ever thought about taking day one, two and three and drawing an arrow across to day four? From day one? Because day one is light and dark. And then day four comes in and sits alongside of it with the sun and the moon. Light and dark, and the stars. And on day two, you've got the sky and the sea. And coming in and sitting alongside of it, draw your arrows across. You have the birds of the air and the creatures of the sea. Now, day three, you remember, is dry land and vegetation. Draw your arrows across. Day six comes in and sits alongside of it with animals and humans to whom God gives the vegetation for food. Isn't it interesting? And along the way, each day, as things are created, the dark and the light, the sky and the sea, the dry land, the vegetation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and then finally the land creatures and people. With each step, God looks at it and he sees that it's good. And God blesses and says, be fruitful. Multiply. And God says and brings into being with his words. Now, the interesting thing at the end of that story is that people are made in the image of God. So what's the image of God? that it's talking about. When I was a little kid, I used to think God must look like a person. Well, that's the way kids think, very concrete. But adults, we are capable of the period of formal operations, according to Piaget, where we can think in abstract forms. What's the image of God? The image of one who creates what is good. The image of one who creates an interdependency. Day one, day four, day two, day five, day three, day six. One thing depending on the other. Everything interconnected and interwound with that saying, it is good. It was very good. Well, of course it is. God's made it. And I remember an occasion where someone said to Jesus, good teacher, and he says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. God is good. And part of God's invisible nature, his eternal power and deity that you see in creation is good. And God is creating. And the image of God that we are made in is that. And in fact, God gives people in the story of creation, the first story of creation, the role of looking after it, a stewardship, a responsibility. The sort of, when it says to have dominion over it, it's the sort of dominion that you have when you have children. Your dominion is for their good, for their well-being. It is a very, very bad parent who has children and thinks that the children are there to satisfy their needs and aspirations, to fulfill their dreams. A good parent is there to help the child develop and grow and interact and be a part of. So there's the image of God that we are created in. Now I want to read to you another passage from the Bible. And this one comes from John's Gospel. And what's really interesting in John's Gospel is that he starts off with exactly the same words as Genesis. In the beginning. In Genesis, it's in the beginning, God created. And John starts his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. Now, God creates, God said. Okay. John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him was not one thing came into being. We know this. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. So we read in John's Gospel that Jesus is the Word become flesh. The very image of God. Which is, of course, the purpose of creation for all people, as we know from the Genesis story. And what do we see in Jesus? We see someone who has come into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Now, why is it that so often when we read that, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through it the world might be saved. Why do we so often see that as referring just to people? The world needs saving at this moment in a way it's never needed saving before. And the way that's going to happen is not through more and more of the broken systems that at this moment are ripping the world apart, that are causing so much pain and suffering to so many creatures, extinction rates running at 100 times normal. What's going to save the world is not the self-seeking, self-aggrandizing, self-satisfying systems that we've got going. What's going to save the world is the compassion and the love of Christ, living out through you and me, who are created and living in the image of God, because Christ is in us and we are in Christ. People who are going to look at the world with the love of God. People are going to look at the world and not see dogs that are only deserving the crumbs, but seeing loved parts of creation that are deserving of everything. It is a beautiful world. God has given it to us. And I believe that the Christian faith has a great deal to say about how we need to shift in order to save this world. The last day of creation is the Sabbath, where God rests. Now, we know God doesn't need to have a snooze, but this resting is a different sort of resting, I think. It's the resting of the Sabbath, and the idea of the resting of the Sabbath is to delight in what has been created, to delight in our oneness with Christ, to reset our compass, to reset the vibrations of our life. I wish we could have our Sabbath. We can't in our world. Everybody's busy working all the time. I wish we could have our Sabbath, a time to reset and think and rest for the right reasons. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May God bless and keep you and draw you ever closer into Christ's presence till you know that he is in you and you are in him, a part of that which is needed to save this world. Amen.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They learn much more than I'll ever know, and I think to myself,